Y'all got good singing. I love it. Praise the Lord. Well, I got up this morning. I said, I think I'm well. Amen. I think the devil must have heard me. He said, you think you're well, or you know by sundown whether you're well or not. And I am telling you, it seems like the further I go, the more choked up I get. But I'm just going to try. I hate for y'all to have to listen to me like this. Amen. But anyway, I just do the best I can. I do feel like I'm a little bit hindered from being what I want to be. But anyway, the Lord knows our infirmities, doesn't he? And I sure didn't plan to be this way, that's for sure. Amen. But anyway, thank the Lord for letting us come past. It's been a joy to be here. I pray God to do something in the service even the next night or two. Amen. Don't know what he's already done, but the Lord does. And we thank him for that. Amen. Well, I'm glad I'm here tonight. It's had a real bad rain down the road. And we come through the rain, the lightning, had some lightning and thunder. But thank God we got here and got here on time. Praise the Lord for that. I'm reminded of the lady who called her husband and said, honey, I'm going to be late getting home. Said, why? Said, I'm having trouble with the car. Said, trouble with the car? I said, honey, it's a brand new car. Said, well, I don't know about that, but I'm sure having trouble with the car, so I'm going to be late getting home. He said, well, what in the world could be wrong? It's a brand new car. She said, well, if I had to guess, I think it's got water in the carburetor. He said, water in the carburetor? I mean, what would make you're not a mechanic, what would make you think there's water in the carburetor? He said, by the way, where is the car? She said, in the lake. Praise the Lord. So thank God we didn't go in the lake, amen. I thought we was going to go in the lake down there with the way it was raining, but we made it on time, amen. All right, this is going to be pretty evident tonight when I read my scriptures, what I want to preach on. And I'm really a little bit nervous about it, I'll be honest with you. And I haven't preached this message enough to really feel like it's part of me like I want it to be. But it's a sobering message, amen. And knowing we're all in this room tonight going to have to deal with what I'm going to preach on tonight, amen. And there's a lot about it I don't know. And I know your pastor's preached on it, no doubt, many times, and I'm sure of that. But if you turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, turn to Romans 14. I want to turn to several places tonight, and when we turn there, it'd be evident what we're preaching on. In Romans chapter 14, I want you to look with me in verse number 9. Romans 14, verse 9. Again, thank you for everything, the night room, good meals, joined good fellowship with the pastor, and Miss Sexton and I, we enjoyed our time at the supper table. It's taken us 2 hours to eat, I'm telling you. And we ain't eating all that time, amen, but we've enjoyed the good fellowship. All right, Romans 14, verse number 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12, now is where I want to read. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's really the verse I want to center on now. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. He said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And I marked that in my Bible. We may be accepted of him. Now we've already been accepted in him, but he's saying we're laboring to be accepted of him. That's not, does not do with our salvation. Our salvation is settled, but we're laboring. We're looking for the Lord to come. And hey, we're laboring to be accepted of the Lord. Look at verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Back to Romans, if you would, real quick. Back to Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, Pastor, sometime a while back I was studying, and we've quoted this verse and preached on this subject down through 30-something years many times, and I don't know if it's going to do you like that, but when I begin to look at verse number 12, so every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And somehow or another, I looked up the word account, and here's what that word means. Every one of us shall give a word. They tell me that's the same word that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here's what he's saying. Every one of us is going to give a verbal word of ourselves to God. I guess I've always thought of the judgment seat of Christ as going before the Lord, and the Lord's going to say what he's got to say, and I'm not going to say anything. But here, if I'm reading it right and studying it right, he said that we're going to have to give a verbal answer to the Lord on how we have lived our lives since we've been saved. And so I'm just preaching on this tonight. What are you going to say? What am I going to say? When we stand before God and we give a word about our life, what are we going to say? So I'll preach on that thought tonight. Y'all pray for me. It's evident I need a physical touch. Pray for me that God would help me to bring this out tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege that we've had to be in this place this week. Now, Lord, we sure need your help. It's evident I need you physically, and then I need you spiritually above all. But, Lord, may the Word of God tonight find lodging in our hearts. And Lord, bring forth fruit in our lives. And may this message, Lord, speak to me as I try to preach it. That God, I'm going to give an account. I'm going to give a word. I'm going to give an answer to the Lord God Almighty about how I've lived since I've been saved. So help us is our prayer. May you get glory and may your people get help. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We all know this, that the judgment seat of Christ has to do with believers. There'll be nobody at this judgment that's lost. The judgment seat of Christ deals with believers only. Only those that have been saved by the grace of God. God has dealt with us in three areas in our lives. He dealt with us in past as sinners. In the past, we were sinners, but God took care of that at Calvary. That's been testified to tonight. I'm glad when I was a sinner, lost and undone, without God, thank God I made it to Calvary, and God forgave me of all my sin. I'll never have to answer for the things that I've done before I got saved. That night, 28 years of sin I had committed, but that night I knelt at Calvary. God took care of all those sins, and they're in the past. And they're buried, forgotten, washed away, amen. And so I'll never have to give an account for my past sin. But then he deals with us in the present. Now he deals with us as sons. And so when God is dealing with us, now that we're in the family of God, he deals with us in a number of ways. He comforts us, and then when we don't do right, he chastens us. So now that I'm living, I'm a Christian now, I'm saved now, God deals with me in a number of ways. He comforts me when I do right, and he chastens me when I do wrong. Why? Because I am now not a sinner, I am a son. So he dealt with me in my past, he's dealing with me in my present, but he's going to deal with me in my future. One day I'm going to stand before God, hey, as a servant. How did I serve God since I've been saved? And so God wants to deal with us about that. When the Lord comes, amen, there's going to be a rapture. Amen. The trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be caught up. Amen. There's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a reunion, and there's going to be rewards. We go into the judgment seat of Christ. I know we talk about the Lord coming. I talk about the Lord coming. We sing about the Lord coming. I love it. I think he's coming. But the first thing that's going to happen is we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. I personally believe, amen, that's the first thing after the rapture. So this judgment has to do with reward. We can either earn rewards or lose rewards. I was reading one great author, he said this, to overdo the sorrow aspect of the judgment seat of Christ is to make heaven a hell. But, he said, to make light of the sorrow aspect of the judgment seat of Christ is to make faithfulness inconsequential. In other words, hey, as we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, what's really going to matter is were we faithful. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, and I want to read that to you, 1 Corinthians 4, he said, moreover, it's required of the steward that a man be found faithful. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe God's going to judge us and give us reward, or we're going to lose reward according to our faithfulness to the things of God. Salvation is the free gift of God, but rewards are earned. You can either earn rewards, or you can lose rewards. The Bible said in the book of 2 John verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. The Bible said over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So I believe rewards are going to be earned, or rewards are going to be lost at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 8, Revelation 19, verse number 8, let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I was reading that and I was studying the Ryrie Study Bible. And I don't agree with everything the Ryrie Study Bible said, but I thought he made a good point. He said in olden days, it was the pride of the bride to make her own wedding gown. He says what we do in our works, our labors, we're making our wedding gown for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I believe as a Christian, all of us are responsible, since we've been saved, to labor, to work, amen, for the glory of God. And when we stand before God, we'll be rewarded, or we'll either lose reward, depending on how we lived our lives since we've been saved. Somebody help me right there. The person we are today will determine the rewards that we will receive tomorrow. The meaning of the judgment seat of Christ comes from a word, bema. Bema, in the Grecian games, there was a raised platform on which the umpire sat. From there, he could view the playing field. And then he would reward the participants after their efforts in those games. I'm telling you, so to speak, God is saying he's the supreme umpire of the universe. And he is watching us in this race of life. And we're going to be rewarded at the end, or we're going to lose reward at the end. 1 Corinthians 3:13, he says that day will declare it. That day will make it plain. That day will signify how we have run the race. I'm simply saying this word got me. We go give an account. We go give a word. We go give a vocal response to what the Lord says. And I'm asking us and I'm asking me, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Are you listening to me? Notice, first of all, the period or the time of the judgment seat. I personally believe it's immediately after the rapture. I believe when the rapture takes place, according to Luke 14:14, he said, thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. The rewarding of the saints will be between the rapture and the revelation. We're going to be caught up with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air. We'll spend 7 years in heaven. Then we'll come back at the end of the tribulation, and we'll come back in revelation with Jesus. But between the resurrection, the rapture, and the revelation, we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe it's the first place we go. I heard Dr. Seidler preach on that one time. He said, immediately when the trumpet sounds, we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. I'd hate to know I'm sitting down at the supper and I gotta get up and go to the judgment seat. I'd hate to know the rapture took place and I went to the supper. And after the supper, I got to go to the judgment. Well, I'd have indigestion. Somebody help me. But I believe we're going to take care of that. At the rapture, we're going to the judgment seat. We'll go through the judgment seat. And then we'll sit down with the marriage of the Lamb. I'm simply saying to us tonight that God is saying, hey, the period of time immediately after the rapture. Number two, the place of the judgment. Where would this judgment take place? And I don't know that I can give you an answer on that. The Bible said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and we will meet the Lord in the air. Somewhere in the heavenlies, I believe God may have picked out a place that we will all believers stand before God. We will give a word. We will give a vocal answer on how we have lived our lives. Then notice the participants in the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, turn back with me there. Verse number 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made but hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that brought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. I've already got the down payment. The Holy Spirit took up residence. Amen. When I got saved and you got saved, and when I got saved that night in that Pentecostal meeting, amen, the next day the man that was on the job working me, he said, Brother Alfred, he said, it's wonderful you got saved. He said, I saw you when you run down that aisle. I didn't even know he was there. He said, but I want to tell you something better than getting saved. He said, when you get the Holy Ghost. I said, you mean I don't have the Holy Ghost? He said, no, you got saved, but you got to get the Holy Ghost. So I'd go down to the hog pen. I was raising me a hog to butcher. And I was down there praying. I said, God, he said, what I've got is good, but getting the Holy Ghost would be better. And so, God, I want the Holy Ghost. And I was praying that God would give me the Holy Ghost. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. I was walking out the woods one day from feeding my hog, and a Bible verse came to me, and it said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And here's what God's saying. When you got saved, you got God the Father, you got God the Son, and you got God the Holy Ghost. I said, man, I've already got the Holy Ghost, amen. Bible said in Romans chapter 8 verse 9, if you have not the Spirit, you're none of his. Hey, why not only have the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the one that got me in. Amen. Had it not been the Holy Ghost convicting me, I would have never got saved. But I'm glad that night when I got saved, thank God, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm a Holy Ghost Baptist. Somebody help me. I went back down on the job. I told him, I said, man, according to what I read, I done got the Holy Ghost. He said, well, did you speak in another language? I said, oh, yeah. Somebody help me. I said, if you'd heard me before, you'd think I'm talking different now.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God took all the cussing away. Hello, y'all help me, amen. Hey, I was speaking with another tongue. Somebody help me, amen. I wasn't cussing the boss. I wasn't cussing this. I tell you, God gave me another tongue, amen. Yeah, man, I'm hoping it'll get better. I'm hoping it's going to get better. What are you trying to say? I'm just simply trying to say the participants, hey, is none other than believers. This is a judgment for believers only. Hey, if you're not saved tonight and the Lord comes, you're not going to this. You're going to the great white throne judgment. You're going to stand at the great white throne. Amen. And the Bible said that God's going to say, bind them hand and foot and cast them into the lake of fire. Thank God I'm not going there. Thank God I got that settled at Calvary. Hallelujah. So, hey, we will stand in this judgment and we will give an account. There's not going to be a general judgment. It does not mean that we can come up before God one day and God said, you've done a lot of good, more good than bad, so you can go to heaven. He's not going to say you've done more bad than good, so you got to go to hell. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, I'm not going to be judged like that. I'd hate, hey, by that way you couldn't know till you got there. If I had to wait to stand before God and he says you're good, I wish you're bad, you go to heaven, and you're bad, I wish you're good, you go to hell. You couldn't know till you got there, and then it would be too late. But I'm saying, you know why we're happy tonight? You know why we're praising God tonight? Because we know where we're going, amen. Hey, my salvation settled. I don't have to wait to get to judgment, find out where I'm going. Hello. You know the average church today all across this country, when they meet on Sunday, that's what they preach. You go stand before God, if you've done good, you go to heaven. If you've done bad, you go to hell. Most of them don't believe there is a hell, but anyway. I'm glad, thank God, the judgment's not going to be like that. I know tonight where I'm going. You know tonight where you're going. If you don't know, hey, if you don't know, I doubt it. Hey, Hey, if you doubt it, I doubt it. Help me, somebody. Hey, somebody big as God moves in. And I don't want to go too far on this, but I'm telling you, somebody big as God moves in. You ought to know that you got saved. Amen. Hey, somebody big as God moves in. Sin moves out. You ought to know that you got saved. John said, I'm writing these things that you may know that you have eternal life. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed. So we're not here tonight trying to work our way to heaven, not knowing whether we're going to heaven. We know we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ because we've been saved. Amen. December 7th, 1972, quarter after 9 on a Thursday night, I walked into the doubt and left with a shout. I ain't been the same since. Why? Because I got saved. And that because of that, I'm going to this judgment. Now, real quick, let me give you this and I'm through. I believe in that judgment, we can be judged for our public Christian life. Look with me in Romans 14 again, real quick. Romans 14. Lord, I apologize for my throat tonight. Romans 14. Look with me there in verse number 10. He said, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He's saying, why do you judge your brother? Why do you set at naught your brother? Could that judging your brother have to do with the weak judging the strong? What did he say? He said, what? He said, why dost thou judge thy brother? And if you know the content of that chapter, I'm not here to preach out of that chapter tonight. I'm just simply saying it has to do with the what? The weak judging the strong. He said, why do you judge your brother? How do you treat your brother? Don't judge your brother. Number two, he says this, why thou set it not thy brother? Could that be the strong judging the weak? I think one has to do, number one, why dost thou judge thy brother? I think that has to do with the weak dealing with the strong. But then I think on the other hand, why dost thou set it not thy brother? That has the strong judging the weak. Maybe the strong has got pride and he looks down on the weak brother. But nevertheless, here's my point. He's saying, why don't you brethren get along in light of the judgment seat of Christ? Right in the midst of the context, he said, we all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You don't need to judge your brother for being weak. You don't need to judge your brother because you're stronger. We go all stand before the judgment seat. I'm just simply saying, I believe it has to do in the light of the judgment seat, how we get along with one another. Amen. I remember sad memories. I can remember being in nightclubs. And I can remember two fellows I remember buddies getting mad in the club, and I remember going up behind the club, and they'd go out there and slug it out. And I'm telling you, when one would beat the other one, I can remember this happening on a few occasions. I remember one beat the other one and beat his head in, and after he got through, he helped him up, took him back in the junk joint, and bought him something to drink. It's amazing that the world has got more compassion than the church. You get two brothers fall out in church, and I'm going to tell you what, they can't hardly get it together in 10 years. Yeah, man. But I'm telling you, at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give an account on how we treated our brother. I really believe this, Pastor, and the pastor can help me and straighten this out. I believe what's not settled here will be settled there. I believe in the church, when things come between us and brothers, if we don't get it settled, it's going to come out at the judgment seat, and God's going to take care of the judgment seat. I don't want to take care of the judgment seat. I want to take care of it now. I've heard about revivals breaking out because brothers got right. Hello? I've heard about revivals breaking out in the church when one brother walked across the aisle and told another brother, I'm sorry, I certainly don't think that's in this church, but I have heard where one brother walked across the building and said, brother, I'm sorry, let's bury the hatchet and let's go on for God, and revival broke out. I had a preacher friend of mine I was dealing with the other day, and he called me, and he'd been having some trouble in his church, and he said he went to church on Sunday night, and they have a vote on a major issue in the church. And they had some dissension in the church. And he said when we got there to church that night, our church was running about 300. And he got up on the platform and called the youth choir up. And the youth choir started singing, and God moved in. He said people were going to the altar, people were praying, and people were weeping. They was going to vote that night on whether a deacon ought to run the church or the pastor was going to run the church. And so they were there for that, and the choir started singing, and God moved in. And he said people were going to the altar, people were crying, and people were weeping. And he said while that was happening, God put it in my heart to go to the deacon. And I went to the deacon, I put my arms around him. He said, brother, I want you to know I love you. I'm not against you, I'm for you. I don't agree with what you're trying to do and attacking the pastor, but I do love you, and I think you're a good man. He said the deacon wouldn't accept his apology. He said, but I will tell you this, preacher, I got it off my chest. And I believe sometimes, hey, you got to do all you can do to get along with brothers. But I'm telling you, if they don't accept it, then it's between them and God. Somebody help me, somebody help me. Hey, he said at this judgment, hey, we're going to give an account on how we treated our brethren. Amen. Number two, we're going to give an account on the tongue of the brethren. The Bible said in Matthew 12:36, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Hey, he's the same word in my studies. He said that's the same word. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Does anybody hear me? God may say, why did you gossip? Give me an answer. Brother Willis, give me an answer on why you gossip. I want a verbal answer on why you gossip. That's going to be awesome. Are you listening? Why did you say hasty things? Why did you use dirty language? You know what, church, I'm telling you, it's got to the place. I'm telling you, I've been to meetings now where the preacher's cussing the pulpit. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, any preacher cussing the pulpit, I wouldn't trust him behind the barn. I have been in meetings where the preacher's cussing the pulpit and the church say, amen, amen. I say, fooey, sit down. I've had preachers cuss on tape. I had to take my young people and say, young people, don't listen to that preaching. Any man that'll cuss, you don't need to hear him preaching. Yeah, man. I ain't like because of that, but it's right. Yeah, man. I'm telling you what, we go stand at the judgment seat of Christ and God's going to say, give me an answer on why you said that. Yeah, man. I'm preaching to myself, church. Now, I do know this. There's some things you have to deal with. Amen. But I'm telling you, we should never attack anybody to be critical. Hey, people do things that we sometimes have to talk about, but it should not be a malicious, I am trying to get you. Hey, that's all together. I told my church, I expect y'all to talk about the church. Somebody said, don't talk about the church. Well, wait a minute, this is our life. How can you not talk about the church? And by the way, the church I pastor is not perfect. Is anybody listening? So there's a lot in our church to talk about that's not right. And I don't even mind that. But if you're malicious and you're trying to tear the church up, that's altogether different. If you're talking about it to correct it, that's another story. Amen. Somebody help me right now. Amen. I didn't get that from nobody. I feel like God gave me that. How can we don't talk about the church? Well, I hope you do talk about the church. I hope you say good things about the church. And even if the church has got a problem, hey, discuss it. What can we do to correct it? Praise God. So we go give an account of our tongues. Amen. Bible said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. So, hey, he is saying, give me an answer on what you said. Amen. Y'all ready? Let's go to the altar. Y'all ready? Let's stop the service and let's all go to the altar and say, God, I done heard enough. I'm under conviction already. I've done got so much, heard so much in 15 minutes. I don't need to hear no more. Are you listening? I don't know if I ever had this pattern, preacher. I went to the church about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I walked in the pulpit, and I don't know if I ever had this happen in my church like this. And I've been there 33 years, and I walked in the pulpit, and I opened my Bible, and I started preaching. And before I got there, God said, and I wrote it in my notes. He said, when you get to that point right there, he told me to sit in my office. He said, when you get to that point right there, stop. And that was in the introduction. He said, stop and ask anybody if they need to get saved. So I got in my introduction. I started preaching. And I got that place. I saw where I wrote a note. I said, God told me to stop right there. Does anybody need to get saved? We're a small country church. And a man raised his hand and said, preacher, I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost. Would you get somebody to lead me to Christ? And he got gloriously saved. Hey, in the introduction. Hallelujah. Are y'all listening? we didn't have no more preaching. Hello? Hey, people started going to one another. People started hugging one another. People started hugging him. I'm going to tell you what. Hey, God has a way to direct us. Maybe we don't heard enough tonight to say, oh, God, we need to get to the altar. I'm going to the judgment seat. Amen. Are you listening? Are you listening? So we're going to give an account. Amen. How we treat the brethren. We give an account on our tongue about the brethren. We give an account of the tall of the brethren. Look at chapter 3. Of 1 Corinthians, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. When we go to judgment seat, we're going to be judged on our works. And he said they're going to be given account on what sort they are. Not what size they are, but what sort they are. Amen. Now, and I wrote this down. I'm sure I read it somewhere. He's not going to judge us necessarily by the quantity of our ministry, but he's going to judge us on the quality of our ministry. He's not going to judge our churches on how big we are. He's going to judge our churches on the kind of sort of church we had, not the size of the church we had. Now, that don't mean I'm for little churches and not and against big churches. That just means whatever size your church is, we're going to give an account. Amen and amen. Somebody, I'm sure I read this. Would you rather have a handful of gold or a wagon load of hay? A wagon load of hay is sure a whole lot more than a handful of gold. But I'm going to tell you, the quality of the handful is greater than the quantity of the wagon. Hallelujah. So we're not going to give an account on what size. We're going to give an account on what sort it is. Amen and amen. And quality has to do with whether or not it was dependent upon the Holy Ghost. I'm just telling you, church, I'm just telling you, I ain't one of them, and I thank God I ain't. But some men can get in the pulpit and know how to do it. They can get in the pulpit and use psychology. I done seen it. I'm telling you, I ain't trying to act humble, I'm trying to tell you the truth. I preach it, I don't even know how to give it. God's got to give the invitation. I know there's things we ought to learn, things we ought to do, but I am telling you, this thing boils down, did the Holy Ghost direct us in what we're doing? Everything else is of the flesh. Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm going to give an account of how I preach. Are you listening? Did I preach for applause? Did I preach to be well known? Or did I preach because God said preach? Amen. We give an account of how we've taught, how we've worked, how we've labored. We give an account of how we've sung. I've heard people can sing the house down, but they're living like the devil. Would y'all help me? Somebody help me. We will give an account and we give it our best. Amen. Isn't it sad that the world gives their best to the world and the church gives their last to the church? But I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account. Did I give it my best? Or did I have to be pumped or primed or bragged on? Had a lady in my church one time singing. She asked me, could she join the choir? And of course, we have some standards to join the choir. Went through that. She joined the choir. Then she sang in the choir a while. And she comes, she said, preacher, I'd like to sing a special. I said, that'd be great, sister. You can sing a special. So she got up one Sunday morning, sang a special. Well, she come to me up next week. She said, I won't be singing any more specials. I said, why not? She said, nobody said amen when I sang. I said, who was you singing for? Hallelujah. She said, when the other group sing, they say amen. She said, when I sang, nobody said amen. I said, if you sing for the Lord, maybe he's saying amen. Somebody help me. I'm not laboring down here to impress people. I want to labor down here to bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. We give an account of our public service. We'll give an account of our private service. Amen. Our methods that we've used. 2 Timothy says, we got to do it according to the scripture. Amen. Our minds, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Hey, we'll give an account of our private life. What was going on in my mind? What was my method? What was my motives? Amen. Do you know when they slayed a sacrifice in the Old Testament? They took that sacrifice and they inspected it. Outside, it could have no blemishes. If it had a blemish, it could not be offered as a sacrifice. But if it passed all the outward inspections, and then they slayed it, there was an inward inspection. Now, I'm going to tell you, not only are we going to be inspected on what we did outwardly, we're going to be inspected on what we did inwardly. Yeah, man. It's not just what I preach, and why did I preach? It's not just that I sang a song. It was the motive of my heart about singing that song. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. So I'm simply saying it's going to be a public judgment. It's going to be a private judgment. And there's going to be a prize for our Christian life. He said what? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, verse number 8. Here's what he said. He said that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Bad means good for nothing. Hey, am I going to be rewarded or am I going to lose reward? So we go stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the participants, the principle of the judgment. Again, not a question of salvation, but rather of service. Amen. I'll give you a class illustration. You cannot always go by results. By that I mean this. God told Moses to speak to the rock. And Moses didn't speak to the rock. Moses struck the rock. But even though he was out of the will of God, water still came out. And sometimes we judge things by the results. But I'm telling you, results aren't always an evidence that something is real.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Moses, out of the will of God, struck the rock, but the water came out, and he was out of the will of God. So much so, God said, Moses, you're not going to the promised land. Is anybody listening? I'm simply saying, hey, this judgment is not going to just be what we've done outwardly. It's going to be the motive of our heart. The motive of our heart. Was it good or was it good for nothing? We're going to pair. It's going to be made manifest. Amen. That's what the Bible said. At this judgment, our motives, what we've done, is going to be revealed. And we'll either be burned by fire or go through the fire. And we will earn reward. Amen. Somebody said it like this. The purpose of the judgment seat was to make a public manifestation of the essential character and motives of the believer. I believe this judgment. When you know we talk about the Lord coming. And I'll tell you, we talk about it and we sing about it and we ought to. But I'm telling you, church, Paul closed out reading out tonight. That's what he said. He said, knowing the terror of the Lord. He said, knowing I'm going to stand before God at the judgment seat. Not the terror of going to hell. He said, knowing I'm going to stand before the judgment seat. He said, strikes terror in my heart. Are you listening? Now, I'm telling you, when I think about the Lord coming, and we go see that one they sang, that we sang about tonight, and we go stand before him, and those nails pierced hands, and those nails pierced sides, and we look at him who died on the cross for us, and we go give an account. Not just an account, we go give a word. Why did you live that way? Why did you do that? I don't know if there's a restroom or job, but I'm telling you, that's going to be awesome. I'm going to have to give a word to God on how I lived since I got saved. Are you listening to me? So we see the participants, amen. We see the principle of the judgment, amen. It's not based on outward observation, but rather on an inward motivation, amen. It will not be what our flesh has done. It'll be what faith has produced. The only thing that pleases God is faith. For without faith, you cannot please God. He didn't say without faith, it's hard to please God. He said without faith, you cannot please God. It will not be what we have done in the flesh. It will be what we've done because of our faith. Amen. The question comes, will sin be dealt with at the judgment seat? I don't know that I have all the answers, church. But I believe my sin was taken care of at Calvary. But after Calvary, I believe my sin is taken care of in confession. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then I believe our sins is taken care of the communion service. Amen. We had a communion service Sunday night before I left to come up here. And that's a sobering time in our church. And I said, never should our church be closer to God collectively nor individually than after a communion service. Because God calls us to the communion table to get all of our sins confessed and right and us right with one another. And we ought to be more right with God after the communion service than probably since we've been saved. I said tonight, if you did right by the communion service, you are probably closer to God tonight than probably since you've been saved. Why? Because we've got all of our sins confessed and right. If we did it right, we got right with God that night. And right with one another. In our communion service, we encourage people, and we've had people in the communion service go to somebody and say, I'm sorry, I had ought against you in the communion service, and I want to get it right, and now take communion. Somebody help me. I just believe you deal with your sin in confession, and you deal with your sin in communion. Amen. I don't believe this judgment is a judgment about sin. Now, I don't know that I can tell you. The pastor has to take up there. I do believe this. I think sin will be dealt with in the degree that it's hindered us from serving God. But basically, this judgment is not a judgment of sin. It's a judgment on how we serve God. Now, sin will keep you from serving God, but the judgment has to do with how we serve God. Amen. Will we be ashamed? 1 John 2:28 said, now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall not be ashamed. I'm telling you, I want to live my life where I don't have to be ashamed. If I daily walk with God and talk with God and confess my sin and stay right with God, that's not to say I don't sin. It's not to say you don't sin. But it is to say when I do sin, I can get it confessed, I can get it clean, and I can get washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's my advocate. Hell, I'm glad I got a lawyer. I'm glad I got somebody to plead my case. Amen. Rewards will be given. I'm going to deal with that but a minute and I'm through. The rewards will be crowns God will give us. Revelation chapter 4 verse 10 was mentioned at night. We're going to cast our crowns at Jesus' feet. I believe those crowns have to do, and that's altogether another message on self-control. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, soul winning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the second coming, looking for his coming. 2 Timothy 4, hey, the shepherd's crown, and not only that, the sacrificial crown. Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life. I believe we can earn some crowns at the judgment seat. But when I get those crowns, I'm not going to strut all over heaven and say, look at my crown, look at my crown. I'm going to the feet of Jesus and lay them at the feet of Jesus. And thank God I had the opportunity to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He gave me that privilege. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's going to be crowns. There's going to be control. I believe how you serve God now is probably where you could be in the millennium. I don't know if I can put a lot of stock in this, so y'all just stay with me. I told my church I'm going to be the mayor of St. Stephen. God put me in St. Stephen. I've been there 33 years. I've been cussed at, cussed out, lied on. Somebody help me. They sell beer on Sunday. In our town, they sell beer on Sunday. Are y'all listening to me? But when I come back in the millennium and we're ruling and reigning, just possibly God may put me over St. Stephen. And you can mark it. They ain't even going to sell cigarettes. Somebody help me. I might, if I don't want them to, I might not even let them sell Baby Ruth. Somebody help me. Is anybody listening? I just believe how we serve now is where it's going to be our position in the millennium. Amen. He said, if you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over much. So how we're serving God now is going to depend on where we are in the millennium. Amen. That's another story. Say, God gives us crowns. God gives us control. Now God gives us comfort. Hey, if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him, he said. Are you listening? I believe at the judgment seat there'll be regret. I believe everybody's going to have some regret of the potential of our lives. What God had a lot for us that we never was able to comprehend and do. You know, when Israel went into the Canaan land, God had all Canaan land prepared for them. But they only inherited a very little bit of it. And I'm telling you, when we got saved, God gave us a wonderful privilege to serve God. But I'm telling you, sometimes the potential of our lives, we have not realized what God saved us for. Oh, my soul. So the potential of our lives, the price of our laziness. At the judgment seat, it might come out how lazy we were. That's why we didn't serve God. Amen. Wouldn't you hate to be sitting in a church? Wouldn't you hate to be sitting home Sunday night watching television and the trumpet sound? And immediately leave your house on Sunday night and you should have been in church and the trumpet sounds and you go to the judgment seat of Christ. That's going to be awful. Are you listening? And somewhere around this world, no doubt in my mind, the trumpet's going to sound, and some backslidden Christians will be sitting at home when they should have been in church, and they're going to the judgment seat, and they could give an account on why they didn't serve God better. Amen and amen. So it'd be a price, the potential of our lives, the price of our laziness, then it's going to have to do with the perishing of our labors. The Bible said if we don't serve God right, he said we're going to lose our rewards. Amen. I don't know how all that works, Pastor. You straighten me out on that. But not long ago, when I first got saved, I used to hear this preacher. He thundered when he preached. I mean, he had a big church. He thundered. He thundered when he preached. I mean, you could feel the power of God in his preaching. And I was, sometimes I won't get into all that. I was dealing with this situation, and this preacher got stopped by a highway patrolman. He's 70 years old now. And he was riding down the road and made some minor traffic violation, and the highway patrolman pulled him. And when he walked up to the car, here's a man pastoring a big church, 70 years old, gave his life to the ministry. And when the officer walked up to the car to get him for a minor violation, he smelled liquor on his breath. 70 years old, preached and thundered the gospel across this country and was drinking liquor. Had to go back home, resign his church, step down from being the pastor. And one day, I don't know how God's going to work all this out, but to give your whole life to the ministry. And in the very end, throw it all in for a drink of liquor. I'm telling you, I've come too far to turn back. Me and your pastor's talking today, and I'm telling you, who am I to say this? But I'm telling you, I have never seen the intensity of the devil working on God's church like he's working today. It don't seem like there's hardly, in the circle I travel, it don't seem like there's hardly a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks that you don't hear, there was another one. Here's another good man of God gone. Here's another good saint of God gone. Here's another good member fell out of church. I'm telling you, the intensity of the devil today is to stop all of us. But I'm telling you, I've come too far. By the good grace of God, I tell you what, I want to stay with what got me here. I want to dance with the one who brought me here. Amen. I don't want to switch partners in the middle of the thing. Amen. I started this thing off preaching and praying and shouting. I want to go out preaching, praying, and shouting. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to meet God. We're going to meet Jesus. And we're going to stand before him. And he's going to say, Brother Willis, give me a word on this. Give me a word on why you talked about that brother. That's going to be awesome. And we can either gain reward or lose reward. Let's stand, let's pray. Father, now Lord, physically I feel like I've done an awful job. Lord, I pray you'd use your word to touch hearts tonight, working lives tonight. And God, we really, number one, me, need to be mindful that the coming of the Lord, we're going to stand at the judgment. And give a word about our lives. Help us now, I pray, to take heed to this message. Myself, number one, that God, I'm going to give an account. Bless the invitation. Help the pastors. He comes to direct the invitation. The singer, the pianist, all those that will play. And God, move in our hearts tonight, we pray. And we'll thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Musicians are coming. I'm going to ask the pastor to come. And you obey the Lord.